Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. This is home, Stephanie Neal.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place. A place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz. A journey I'll never forget. When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflows. I wish I was home, I wish I was at home with the things I've been knowing. When it all clean.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I'm so grateful. And as we move into our space this morning, I just want to say that was Stephanie Mills, Home. That was my mom, one of my mom's favorite songs. She loved music. And yesterday was a very interesting day. My girlfriend, who was on life support, actually went on and made her transition yesterday. Some of you all know I'm in the middle of a closing a deal on a house, and all the processes started to try to unravel. It was interesting because when I was getting ready to meditate, I heard this distant sound, and it was this song. And I didn't even put the two and two together until later on. And my mom was sending me a message that everything is going to be okay. And even with that, I just thank God. Whatever that okay means, I thank God. And now as we prepare ourselves to enter into the stillness, the one where we are the one. And so in this right now moment, just want to say thank you. As we recognize that God is good, thank you. As we recognize that we are all that God is, thank you. And so we just move into a place inviting the presence, the stillness. I am, you are, God is. I am, you are, God is. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So right now, I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as we become intentional about the breath, because there's power in the breath, and sometimes we forget to breathe. And right now, I just want you to breathe. By taking in a deep breath, breathing in your nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight, and releasing the breath. So right now, I just want to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. and release.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, Just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me, eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, "Thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful." And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold the thought form, "I am so grateful. Grateful. Grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience." Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. "I am so grateful." Slow, complete exhale. "Grateful I am." Again, a long, deep inhale. "I am so grateful." And a slow, complete exhale. "Grateful I am." And breathe and experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers, and give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Wow. Gratitude. Just simple gratitude. You know, it's interesting how we think of gratitude as one of the most powerful presence of energy to let the Holy Spirit know that we are grateful for our life, you know, even when it doesn't feel good. If you were on when I started out this morning, I told you that my girlfriend actually made a transition. Some of you all know that she was on life support. But what I didn't explain is that she committed suicide. She took pills and drank. She took a bottle of pills and drank, and she never came back out the coma. And So they called the family in yesterday to have her to tell them that they really need to take her off the life support because she had balled up into a ball, a knot like, and she was like 90 pounds. And it was not one of the best sights to see in her. And all I could think to myself is, wow, of all the billions of people on the planet, and you think about the people's desire. So this time last year, a little bit after this, my godmother, one of my favorite people on the planet. This is my childhood friend. They both died very similar, very unhappy. A need to be loved, wanting to be loved. And I was thinking about, wow, the need to be loved. So yesterday was very interesting. So, you know, and some of you all know that I'm closing on a real estate deal. And so things tried to unravel. And I was sitting here getting ready to meditate. And I had my earphones in my ear, but I could hear this distant sound of the song that my mother loved, "When I Think of Home, Home." And I said, wow. I didn't even get it to Brenton, and I was out to dinner. He was trying to make me feel better. So he, you know, all the things that tried to unravel yesterday. And so we were talking, and I was telling him, and then it occurred to me that my mother was coming to me to tell me that it was going to be all right. So whatever that means, I don't know, because when I went to bed, it was still unraveling. I just said, let God do God's work. But I said that to say, wow, it's so interesting how our life pattern becomes exactly what we think. I think about, you know, it all started when we were younger. She got pregnant and her mother made her have an abortion. And from that day, she could never have any more children because something, I don't know what happened. I forget the whole story because it's been a long time. But her whole need to have children and be married was the one thing that she wanted on the planet and she never got. And I said to myself, wow, I was looking, you know, the ball she was in, and you could tell is, you know, when you know how, when you get in a ball and you put yourself into a ball, you know, you're really in pain. And I was like, wow, I never thought about how much pain she was in. And so I said to myself today, what can I do? And I said to myself, I guess there's nothing really I can do other than just continue to be me. People just take information and do what they want to do with it. And if they're not ready to hear it, they can't hear it. If they're not ready to heal, they're not ready to heal. And Janine, you can't do nothing about it. And that was a real big revelation for me yesterday. There's nothing I can do. I see why Jesus had such a hard time with the disciples, you know, because I feel like I'm not 100% get all the love thing down, but I feel like I'm the master of love. And two of the closest people in my life, other than my own family, therefore in need of love. And I'm like, wow. And so when the disciples were asked by Jesus, who do you say, who do they say I am? And they was answering all these questions, but really, who do you say that I am? You know what I'm saying? And I could see why Jesus was frustrated in that conversation, because no matter how Jesus demonstrated the miracles, no matter how Jesus demonstrated miracles, the disciples didn't have no faith sometimes. In the most profound times, they lost faith. No matter what, how many times Jesus showed them, all you have to do is follow this formula. And guess what? And I'm not saying that the path is easy. I'm not saying that you don't fall even in times. I'm just saying there's a path. And it doesn't matter. See, this is how beautiful the presence of God is. It doesn't matter what and how you believe, what religion, whether you knew thought, whether you know thought, or whatever thought you are. the rules are the same. You see, I was talking to Brittany the other day, and I said to Brittany, you know what, it's interesting how people debate things all the time and how one person's truth and one. I said, you know, but it's interesting. Spiritual, universal truth never changes. Universal truth never changes. I don't care if you, I can't think of enough, sanctified, Baptist, Coptic, African, whatever process you do, universal truth never changes. And the truth lives in us. And we have to stop giving our power over to other people. We have to stop giving our power to other people. To doctors, lawyers, relationships, to things. Our power to be happy is on us. It's not anyone else's responsibility to place stars in your sky. Your stars in your sky is your responsibility, and any relationship you have is just a bonus based on a reflection of who you are. That's it. You cannot put the onus of your happiness on somebody else, no matter what happened in your life. It's too many times I can give myself a pity party, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I just want to be in a pity party. And sometimes I feel like I don't feel like being spiritual today. And guess what? I get that right to feel that way. You get that right to feel that way. But do we get that right to stay stuck? No. And I say that because how you going to be an example of what it is you're talking if you stay stuck on those streets? Your life is a demonstration of who you are. Your life is a demonstration of your belief system. Your life, and no matter how much you want to hang up, don't like, or feel, be bad about something Janine did or said, the one thing for sure and two things for certain is truth. It's the truth. I lost more friendships from this love journey than I've ever had in the whole time of my life just because of something I said. And one day I started to think about it. I said, people can't be mad about the truth. And if they disagree, why they can just disagree. You can disagree. You don't have to be mad because you disagree. My word don't mean no more than my word. Your word means your word. Guess what? I'm not the be all or say do all. And I don't dictate or affect your life in any other way than what you allow me to. So at the end of the day, if you don't like something I say, guess what? You don't have to like it. You can keep on loving me. And we can, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. But all I'm talking about is spiritual truth, universal truth. Your life is a demonstration. My life is, if I don't like my life, what I say is not just for your life, it's for my life. And I'm not telling you something I heard about. I'm not telling you something I read about. I'm telling you something I live. Yes, you have the power to part a Red Sea in your life. You have the power to shift and change by shifting and changing your energetic expression, your words, your thoughts, your emotional body. And yes, your emotional body explains what's going on with your physical world. I had a girl call me yesterday. She just got through having rotator cuff surgery on her right side. And when she was going through the pain, constantly through the pain, I kept telling her, you know, you need to forgive the men in your life. She said, I don't got nothing against men. And I know she did because she always saying, men ain't. She got three sons, and the things she say to her sons, and she got phenomenal sons. When I tell you her sons are phenomenal. And she always say, see, you thinking like a man. I'm like, wow, you got to stop saying that. You making them think that being a man ain't nothing. And you then when they perpetuate the behavior of not nothing, you're going to be upset. but she didn't want to hear it. So now she done failed again on the left side. Now, after having surgery, and she was so busy trying to protect the right side, she fell on the left side, broke a rib, broke the baby finger, all kind of stuff. And she called crying. I'm so stupid. Oh. I said, girl, first thing I want you to do is breathe. Now, are you calling me because you want to be your friend and just hear you, or do you want to hear the truth? I said, now you're going to scuffed up the left side of your body. Now, you broke your foot not too long ago. What do you think all these things are saying to you? You think they just happenstance, the world, the universe against you, and you just falling all over the place, right? And you have no control over what's happening in your world. Now, this is a new thought suit. She be never got it, all this good stuff. Go to a new thought church. I said, you know, well, what do you think? I said, the first thing you need to do is be still. So then she went to take down notes, everything. I said, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you this again. All I can do is give you a path, but don't write no notes that I just said. I'm not your God. I'm not your guru. Your guru and your God is in you. And I need you not to put no notes down. I need you to hear the presence of God in you. That's why the universe knocking you upside your blah, blah, blah head. Yes, I did curse at her because I was getting irritated. And yesterday was not the best day in the world for me, but I took time out for her. And why? Because I wanted her to know that if you broke your foot, now you have rotator cuff surgery from where you fell. Then now you done fell on your left side and broke a rib and a finger. And all these things are constantly happening. You don't think that the universe is telling you something. You don't want to take heed that the universe is telling you something. Every emotional part of our body shows up in what's going on in our physical body. All you have to do is tell me your pain and I'll tell you what you're thinking. My kids just say, Mom, you got a crystal ball? No. This stuff ain't rocket science. But you know why it's hard for you all to believe it? Yes, you all. Not just you on this line. The plan, because we're not taught that. Oh, no, my church doesn't teach me that. Oh, my pastor doesn't teach me that. And my pastor. Well, why are you still living the same life if your pastor not teaching you that? Oh, my doctor didn't say that. Oh, your doctor didn't tell you that you're having heart surgery because you going through some heartaches and that you need to heal your heart? No, because the doctor only understands the physical symptoms. The doctor's not understanding your emotional process that got you to your heart. Now, am I saying doctors are not important? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm getting ready to go to the doctor myself. But what a doctor does is help me to get back to myself because I'm not giving my power to nobody. What does a preacher do? A preacher is not there to be your God. A preacher is there to give you assistance on how to navigate your Bible, navigate your life. That's it. So why is it that everything somebody outside yourself is word? Not even me. I'm not even here. However you look at me, whether you look at me as a friend, as a person that facilitates the love journey, minister, whatever you want to look at me, I'm still not your path or your God. Or the word, the end of the day. At the end of the day, the presence of God in you. And if anybody who is in your life assisting you to a greater version of you is not putting you back to yourself to master yourself, a master creates masters, a master never creates followers. Jesus wasn't making the disciples followers. Jesus was making the disciples masters. But for some reason, we don't want to take ownership of our own life. If a doctor says something, sit still and ask your inner presence. Is this what? Now that this information is revealed to me, what must I do? Is this information true or what? If the lawyer You know, I thank God for the presence of me. My lawyer would have put me upside down in jail when I think back over it now. Not because it's just the way they do business. You have to take ownership. I told the lawyer, nope, I'm not going that route. I don't want that. And the lawyer wanted to drop me. I'm like, if you want to drop me, then I want my money back. Because I paid you to defend me. I paid you $25,000. So you telling me you don't want me to cooperate on my life with you? Then give me my money back. He called the friend who actually referred him and told him he didn't like what was going on and he wanted to drop me. So he calls the guy in Greece who actually is friends with him to beg him not to beg. I said, y'all ain't got to beg because if I'm going to have me an attorney, I'm going to collaborate on my life. Not that I know the law, but I know my inner spirit, and I trust that the spirit of me knows best what's for me than anything outside of me. Today, that lawyer is my best friend. Because I know what's best for me from my spirit. If my spirit is telling me this, then why I'm going to say, okay, I saw this movie. I thought this movie was so amazing. And it's just because of this one line. I think the movie is called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or something. But there's this scene where this guy is trying to find out if this guy is the killer. And they're trying to find out if somebody in their midst is killing. So he's searching around the property, he's looking around, and he gets caught on the property. Because he's sneaking around. You know, he's not inside the house. And the guy comes out like, hey, I don't know his name. Say his name, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, what's up? Oh, no, I was just in the neighborhood in the middle of the night. And I thought I'd stop by. Oh, well, come on in. And the guy said, well, you know what, no. I'm going to go ahead on. He said, no. He had to convince the guy to come in. But the guy didn't want to come in because, you know, in his feelings, he felt like he shouldn't go in. But because the guy kept pushing him, he goes in. And then in the next few scenes, you see him tied up in the basement. And when the guy comes back down, he said, it's interesting that people will offend themselves, offend their own senses, offend their own truth, just not to offend somebody else. Now, I want you to hear that. That's deep. If you don't take nothing else from all the times we ever been on here. He said, it's interesting because you knew your inner spirit. He said, your inner knowing told you not to come in. Your inner knowing knew who I was, the killer. But you decided because you didn't want to offend me, you went against yourself. That was the coldest part of the movie. I had to replay it over and over again because I was just like, do you know how many times I've done that? Offending my own senses just to please somebody else. And I said to myself, why do we do that? Oh, we don't want to offend the doctor because the doctor is supposed to be the expert. We don't want to offend the attorney. And I didn't pay the attorney $25,000 to keep me out of prison. But this is what's interesting about my situation with the attorney. They wanted me, I can't remember, they wanted me to say something, admit to something that I didn't do. Now I was like, that's the craziest blah, blah, blah stuff I ever heard in my life. That don't make no sense. Yeah, see, and then they tried to force me to try to say it and tell me. I said, well, you know what, this don't make no sense to me. And I'm not saying it. I'm not getting on no stand to say none of that stuff that you want me to say. And it's interesting because they really didn't want me. They wanted this particular person that I had did some investments with. And they wanted me to get on the stand and say some things. I'm like, now, particularly you got me caught up in this stuff because you said I didn't tell the truth on the application. Now you want me to go on the stand and perjure myself? None of that just don't add up to me. And I refuse to do it. Now I got everybody mad at me, right? So I didn't care. All my, you know, went the guy over in Greece was a part of the Greek mob here in Chicago. This attorney represents that they gave me or recommended to me represented all these mob deals and big drug dealer deals and stuff. Now he got my deal, and he was recommended highly by some big high profile people in Chicago, right? And now everybody's mad at me because I don't want to do what they want me to do. And I'm telling them I paid this man to do what I want to do. Now, if at the end of the day it don't go the way I want it, I can't be mad at him. But I'm not about to do that, right? So they trying to tell me, but I'm telling them it don't matter who you all are. It don't matter. I'm not doing something I don't want to do. Why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you this story. It's important that we learn to hear the inner spirit and trust what the inner spirit is saying to us. When I think about my girlfriend who I grew up with, who died actually yesterday, who actually made a transition, but she died a long time ago. You see, I said in my thought process yesterday when they called and said that she was in a ball, she was in a knot. Let me tell you, the girl had got down to 90 pounds, and the doctors said that it's time to just let her off this, the stuff that keeps you when you're not breathing on your own, life support. She had balled up in such a ball into a little knot, and she was 90 pounds. Looked like she may have been 80 pounds now. Literally in a knot. I thought about her life. Her life ended the day her mother made her have an abortion. And from that day, as we grew up, because we grew up as kids, we've been knowing each other since we were 8, 9 years old. And we, you know, just long time. And the day she had that abortion, she had never been the same no more. She never found another love. She never had children because she couldn't have children. And she searched and searched life. She was being beat up by men, just constant stuff going on. And what I think about is just because her mother didn't want her to have a child out of wedlock, because her mother was really religious. And so when I think about this lady who lived all this in this turmoil, I was thinking, wow, when you look at the body in that her ball she was in, it was like pain emanating still from the body, even though she wasn't alive anymore. It's funny how the body radiates. That's a good word, but that's the best word I can think of right now. Whatever it is you've been thinking all your life, even in your death. You know what I'm saying? So I think about that because I read this book about a yogi who, when he passed away, they said that he was in meditation. His body actually, they said they have accounts of this where his body actually moved out of, the light of came out of his body. But when you looked at the body, it never decayed. It looked like he was still in his physical body, but he wasn't. And in this book, it talks about how in our death, our body has presentations of what we've been thinking pretty much throughout our life. And I was like, wow, to see her body in that state meant that she was in a ball, a knot, a stress, pain all her life. Because, I mean, I've never seen nothing like it. But then I think about my godmother when she passed away, and when I went to the hospital to see her, I didn't even recognize her. Her color changed. I remember when she looked at me one day and she was mad at everybody, and she looked up at me and she said, "You ain't that good yourself." And I was like, wow, she never said that to me in my whole time that we had been, you know, in each other's lives. And I loved her, right? And I was thinking, wow. Well, I'm telling you, family, the best thing we can do on this planet is be authentic and open to the self. I guess the only thing that I'm really saying to you today, stop giving your power to everything and everybody. You want a divine love mate, you can have that. But let go of all the junk that you think is stopping you from having a divine love mate. You want more money, you can have more money. You can have whatever you want. But the universe is showing you exactly your pain body. Or the universe is, it's funny, I was looking at my husband yesterday, and I just was looking at him, and I had never really noticed this about him. I guess I did, but not really to this level. And, you know, my husband has this innocent smile. He has just like a pure, innocent love. And he was just smiling, and he was so happy. And I looked, I said, it's so beautiful to see the energy you put out with your own happiness, you know. I said to him, he said, yeah, you know, it feels good to win at the money game and enjoy your money and enjoy life. And, you know, I worked so hard for so long, I forgot how to enjoy my money and my life, you know. And I just told him that it's just amazing to watch him be just the simple pleasures of life. And what did I mean by that? It's just, he has a heart of gold. Just simple heart of gold. Just one of those people who, no matter what's going on in life, he works through it and then he gets back into his space of just knowing that life is amazing. And so I said to myself, wow, that is such a great, it's such a great beauty of art to see that on somebody with so much going on in the world. And what I want to remind each and every one of you today, I don't care what's going on in your world. That movie, that line in that movie where that man knew better than go in there. Now he's about to have his life ended just because he didn't want to offend the man. How many times have we put our life in jeopardy because we weren't true to ourselves? I think about that. How many times I wasn't true to myself? I think about my girlfriend who died yesterday. And because she wanted to have her baby and her mother didn't, because of her attachment and her love for her mother, she decided she would have the abortion. And then for some reason, that abortion caused her never to have children again in her life, which is something she always wanted. And how she drank and on this last suicide attempt, because she had plenty of suicide attempts, she never came back. We got to stop raising our children with the idea they have to do things a certain way in a way that we think it should be done. Now, I'm not saying that our children shouldn't be respectful or have some guidelines, but when it comes to what's true to their nature of what it is they want in life, even if it offends our own ego, we have to allow them. I mean, I know you paid a lot of money for them to go to school, and I'm talking about myself and this, and then you want them to be doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, and then all they want to do is be a mother and a wife. Well, it's a lot of great things that happen being a mother, and a lot of great things that happen with being a wife. I say that because my other girlfriend is upset with her daughter. She sent her to all these great schools, and all she said, she just wanted to be a wife and a mother. You see, we can't make our children be what we want them to be in terms of our own ego. We can't make our mothers, fathers, we can't make nobody. The only person we can really hone in on is ourselves. And self is the most important work on the planet, is yourself. You got to master yourself. And just so you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't honor your pastor. Your pastor is giving you great information and is helping you live a phenomenal life. By all means, honor your pastor. But nobody is more important than the truth that lives in you, because God placed inside of you a blueprint. There's this thing called a blueprint that's inside of you. And another word for the blueprint is the soul. The soul is the unique aspect of who you are, and that soul essence of you knows exactly what you came to the planet to be, do, and have. And let me tell you, when you're true to the soul, you're true to self. And God placed that soul inside of you because God knew exactly what God wanted from you and what God wanted you to be. God you knew exactly where you went, where God wanted you to be placed at this time in life. I know it's a difficult process to let go and truly surrender. Even in my rebirthing process right now, I can't even tell you how much it feels like 1,000 bricks is on my body. Yesterday was like really interesting. At the same time, all these great things happening. All these things are happening that's causing me not to all feel so good, because my girlfriend that I grew up, who I love like a sister, I was telling Brittany, I loved being with her family because it was the one thing that I wanted growing up was a family. I wanted a mother and a father, some sisters and brothers. So when I spent nights over there, it felt like, you know, it was fun. We all went bowling. We ate together. We, you know, it was funny to watch them argue. It was, you know, it was good to eat at the dinner table. It was just, it was everything that I wanted, which is what I recreated in my life, you know, because I just wanted to have a family. And that was because I grew up in foster care. And in a sense, I wanted the same thing she wanted. It just showed up differently. I wanted love. And that's why I worked diligently to have a family. And I don't know, I guess the pain and the unforgiveness kept her from having exactly what she wanted. But that's all she wanted, was to be loved. In essence, I guess in essence, all I wanted to do was be loved too. But it took me a lot of pain to understand that the only person that could really love me is me, if I ever really wanted to be loved and to receive love. And no matter how much Britton, it was interesting because we, Britton and I, was having a, I don't want to say a disagreement, but some kind of this exchange. And it was really me being in a funky mood. And he just grabbed me and said, you know, I just love you, and I just want you to know I love you, and I just want us to have fun. He said, I don't know how many more days I'm going to have on this planet. He said, but however many more, I just want us to have fun. And I want to have fun with you. I don't want nobody else but you. And he just grabbed me and just, like, let go of that funky mood you're in. Yes, Janine gets in funky moods sometimes, y'all. But I said that to say that sometimes we get exactly, we ask for it, and we can't even see it because it may not show up the way we want it, but it showed up. You see, when I didn't really know how to love me, when I really didn't accept me, when I really didn't know how to appreciate me, it didn't matter how much somebody loved me, I was not able to receive it. Because love comes from the inside out. And so that love that Brenton may have had for me, or anybody, may have just been a band-aid for that minute to fix whatever I was, and then I get back in it, only because life was showing me that I had to love me first. And as simple as it sounds, it's one of the most complex things to do. It's the most complex thing. It's time for us to get to love. Back to love. We have to learn how to love ourselves. Not just getting our hair done and getting our nails done and talking about it, but loving the soul essence of ourselves. Now, that's part of loving the gift that you are, or taking care of the gift that you are, you know, taking care of those things. But loving yourself comes from the heart, the soul. That means honoring the commitment to you. That means honoring what feels good to you, what honoring your joy, honoring your pleasure, but also honoring your pain. Why sit with the pain and ask, what do I need to learn? What do I need to do? Why do the universe got to knock you upside your head, break your feet, Then next thing you know, you having rotator cuff surgery, and it knocks you down. And then you fall again, and you hurt your left side, break a rib, hurt the baby finger. And everything points to the same thing every time she calls. You are afraid to move forward. Anything with knees and feet, arms, it's about moving forward. Also, your right side is about your male energy and how you see yourself in the outer world. Your left side is your feminine energy and how you see it. It's about your inner presence. Your feet, when your feet and knees is about not being bendable, flexible. You just want it to be your way and no way. Pride, it's ego. Guess what? I was having knee pain just a few weeks ago, and I was like, "What in the world?" And Brent come up, you know, that's old age. I'm like, "Baby, you got it mixed up. You know, there ain't no such thing as old age and spirit." And so I had to go in and ask myself, "What is?" I mean, it was hurting to the point where I pressed my knee, put my leg down, and it was pain. I was like, "Now, oh no!" I had to walk down the stairs with flats on, and then put my heels on when I got downstairs. So you know, I had to go quickly in, because that meant that I ain't gonna be able to put my high heel shoes on. You know, I can't live without my high heel shoes. So I had to get still. It was on my left side. And it was about my daughter. I wasn't being bendable and flexible. I wanted her to do what I wanted her to do, the way I wanted her to do it, in the time I wanted her to do it. And when we got into our disagreement, baby, she called me all out. Not disrespectful. I don't mean she cussed me or nothing like that. I mean she was saying, "Mom, you're really operating out of your ego. That's because I'm not showing up the way you want me to show up. I'm not doing what you want me to do because success doesn't look like the way. And so all you trying to keep telling me is I'm just not good enough for what you want." And I was like, "Wow, that's not true, Asia. You're more than good enough." But what it really was, she was right. But what it really was, not because she wasn't good enough, because I see so much more goodness in her than I think she's showing up as. But she was absolutely right. It still went back to my ego. So I got still and I said, where's this showing up in me? And I started doing my work. I put my son in the knee. I put my knee in the son. And I prayed and I asked God to let me truly surrender and release her into her own divine unfold. I had to release her. Because she was absolutely right. She's a bright, smart, brilliant mind. And I just wanted more. She said, "But what more means? More means there's not enough." And Mom, I was like, "Okay, you're right." And I had to let it go. Even though I didn't really want to let it go, because I felt like I was right. But she really was right. If I say I want more, that means then you didn't give me enough. Oh, that child. You know, God gives you your right change, you know. She was my correct change because, you know, she wanted to stretch my thinking a lot. But I said that to say, at the end of the day, I had to let it go. And my knee was showing me that. It was showing me where I wasn't being flexible. It was showing me where I was in my own pride and my own ego. And I didn't see it until the pain came. Well, what in the world? Where is pain coming from? My girlfriend called me about her. She said her knees were hurting her more than she ever had her knees hurt before. And I told her, "That's because you're not in your own joy. You're not in your happiness. Somewhere you're being inflexible and all that stuff too." So at the end of the day, family, I feel like I'm being redundant, but I'm being redundant because I want you to get it. I feel like I'm babbling, but I feel like I'm babbling because I want you to get it. You know, it seems like death is coming so close and so fast and so many people. And I haven't had not one death that I said, wow, they lived a happy life or they lived a really fulfilled life. Not one death that's close to me. I'm not saying there's nobody ever died. But these last few deaths that have been coming these last few years, I'm talking about people who could have lived longer lives. I'm not talking about, like, my mom was 80-some years old, and she was coming into a time where she was making her transition, but it was also she didn't take care of her body, but she lived a really good, long life. But I'm talking about younger people who just wasn't happy and simply died because they were not happy. I just don't want that for us. I want you to take your own happiness into your own hands today. I want you to commit to the commitment of you today. I want you to commit to the commitment of you. If you're not happy, if you're not where you want to be committed to you. Now think about it. That was a big chance to take on an attorney who expertise is law. I paid him $25,000. And I went against what he wanted for me to do. I went against because that's what my spirit said, not because I thought I was smarter than him. But spirit knows all things. And I'm not going to go against, well, I have gone against my spirit when that's the reason why I had an attorney. I was sitting up there closing the deal, and my spirit told me not to close the deal. And I had a 3-day right of rescission. The first night, I'm telling you how sometimes you curious, you be like, was that God's spirit? Oh, okay, yeah. Second day, I woke written up in the middle of the night. It said, something is telling me not to close this deal. Then looked at me and said, I know you didn't wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I went, the third night, it was so loud. I called my girlfriend. She said, girl, you just being crazy. Now, why did I need somebody else to tell me what God had already shown me? I mean, I can't even say I didn't even hear God. Or I was confused because it got louder and louder, so loud that I could not make a mistake. God said, don't close the deal. Now, I couldn't understand why God wouldn't want me to go close the deal that I'm about to make $150,000 on. Because the guy who sold me the house, it wasn't his house to sell. That's why God told me not to do it. And the lady who came back, which causes the FBI to come check me out, said, how did you buy my house? I want my house back. What? I didn't even know what she was talking about. When she came to the job, she came screaming at her. I'm like, I thought she was just a crazy lady. I don't even know how she knew where I work, how she got my name, nothing. And then the FBI started checking it out. That's why I had to get my attorney. Because of the deal that God told me not to do. And I wasn't offending nobody but me. It wasn't because of nobody else. It was because I offended myself because I wanted that $150,000. And that $150,000 cost me a lot. The only thing it was worth was my sanity now, because what happened is I saw God's miracle. I saw God work miracles in my life. And let me tell you, they say when it rains, it pours. It rains, it pours good. And when it rains, it pours learning. So I'm losing all my properties now. The FBI done shut down all my money. Everything's going on. And my daughter's just about to die. I'm in the middle of all this at the same time. So not only do I have the FBI at my door, I got the loan shark that I got the $100,000 from. He was a Mexican mafia that I went and borrowed $100,000 to buy all these houses from, fix them up and sell them, and then get caught up. Now I don't got the money to pay the Mexican mafia, the FBI, my daughter. These Mexican guys are coming to the house with guns, and my daughter's in the hospital, and they say she's not going there. All because I didn't listen to what Spirit told me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Let me say that again. Not once, not twice, three times God said, don't close that deal. Don't go pick that check up. Don't go sign. Then I was being hard. Why? Because the money seemed more appetizing than what my spirit was telling me. And because I didn't listen to my spirit, because I didn't listen to God who said it so clear that I can't lie to you. You know, sometimes you'd be like, God, oh, I think God said it. No, I know God told me once, twice, three times in a row, three nights in a row, woke me up. The first night, I was like, okay, maybe I didn't. The second night, it was loud, so loud that I woke Brenda up. Brent, I never forget, his back was to me. He looked at me like, I know you ain't woke me up for this. And then the third night, I called my girlfriend and woke her up. And still was disobedient. But I saw God's miracles work. Because at the end of the day, it didn't matter about a dollar, a dime, those buildings, those properties. It didn't matter about the Mexican mafia, the FBI, nothing. Because at the end of the day, I just wanted one thing, and that was for my daughter to live. And I remember crying every day, praying. Oh, I was all out of order. I was praying. I was praying. I was praying so hard. Oh, my God. Four different surgeries. They told me she wasn't going to make it. And I'll never forget how dark and bleak and she was barely moving. She was in so much pain. And Brittany finally came and said, you got to go home and get some rest, because I had been in the hospital straight 30 days. He said, just go home tonight. Just go home tonight and get some rest. And after 3 months of being in the hospital, and I went home that particular night, and I remember being on my way home to take a shower. And I remember Donnie Hathaway coming home, giving up his heart to do. And for some reason, that song made me cry so hard. And then I realized that I was praying the wrong prayer. Because I wanted what I wanted. And when I let go, and I said, God, let your will be done. But what I needed more than anything was the courage to let Diamond go. Because if I was going to live without her, I needed God to do whatever it took inside my heart to fix me to be able to live without her. Because in my mind, I couldn't. In my heart, I couldn't even imagine. And when I let go, and I said, God, let your will be done. Even if that meant taking her. I said, but if you take her, I'm going to need you to give me some kind of strength and something to live without her. And that day changed my life. Because the next day when I got home, the doctor said, when I got into the hospital, she was walking around with the doctor and her light was bright. I don't know if you know what I mean. The aura around her was bright. The 3 months she had been in the hospital, it was just dark and bleak. She was in a lot of pain. But this particular day, I just broke down and just gave all gratitude to the Most High God. Because it felt like the best day of my life. So I say that to say to you guys, and I say it with love, if I've ever offended you because of something I said, it was never because I didn't love you. It was only because I did love you. I only wanted the best for each and every one of you all. That That's why I do the love journey. That's why I get up and share the most vulnerable part of me. And it's never to offend anybody. But it is to be authentic and to be transparent and to let you know that the truth lived inside of you. And it's to let you know that you have the power to change, to transform, and to heal your world. And guess what? You cannot do anybody else's world, no matter how much you love them. No matter how much Jesus loved the disciples, he could not, in all his mastery, get the disciples to see what he was trying to get them to see. No matter how many times he turned the fish and the loaves into more than enough, know how many times they went fishing and couldn't fish, and Jesus came and said, cast your net on the right side. And, or no matter how many times he said, you had the power to speak to the wind. No matter how many times Jesus was the example and showed them the demonstration, they still didn't believe. And so I had to come to a realization, no matter how much I show my children, no matter how much I show people in my life, it's nothing you can do until they're ready to do what they need to do with their own power. And so today, as I remind you redundantly, you have the power. The power is yours and yours alone. Nobody else can put stars in your sky. Nobody else can do for you what you want to be done for you the way that you want it to be done but you. I know it's a lot easier to put the ability for somebody to love you in somebody else in you. But people, wherever I say we meet nobody but ourselves, somewhere you're not loving you if your love is not showing up. When God checked me in November, when I was asking God about why lack's still showing up, because God said you got to believe in lack. Nothing can show up in your world unless you believe in it. Whew. You know, that one, you know, I didn't want, you know, I wanted to just go back and forth. God, let's work. God, do I do? God said, well, if you want something different, then do something different. Yeah. God checked your girl right at the door. And that's going to be my message. I know I'm just being redundant, probably babbling. But at this point, I just got my point across. It's nothing more to really say but for us to do the work. So I'm going to go ahead and bid you a great day, reminding you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back from God. Remember the truth, love. Love is a choice, and don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. Whatever that dream is, take it off the vision board. If it's a Bentley, go get it. If it's to write a movie, a book, or whatever, go do it. If it's just a simple, it's to learn a dance technique. Whatever it is, the power is in you. Together, we can live an amazing life. I love you all with the love of God. And I only want to see the best for you all. And so I pray today is a phenomenal day as you live your life to the fullest. I'm going to play Third World now that you found love. What you going to do with it, family? This is dedicated to my friend, my sister, one of the more heartfelt people in my life who made her transition, but she really transitioned a long time ago, and I didn't even have the knowledge to see it until yesterday. I bid her love on her new journey. This is for Beverly, from my heart to yours, Beverly. Thank you for all the times we laughed as little girls, as teenagers, and as adults. I love you. This is Third World Family. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram.
Thank you.
Been tuned into the Love Journey. Have a great day. Love you.